Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Carrie Wang, Sales and Marketing Lead at Giga Computing. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Jim.
Let's start with just a little bit of background, please. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us a little bit about Giga Computing.
Sure. Giga Computing is the enterprise division of Gigabyte. And I actually joined Giga Computing just last year, which was 2024. Before that, I was in fashion industry my whole life, actually. But I've always been very passionate about technology. And as a first marketing role in Giga Computing's Americas region, I just hope I can bring more of a fresh perspective and build stronger connections with talented people like you, Jim, and many others. So again, thanks for having me. Really excited to talk about some of the biggest challenges AI infrastructure facing today.
Fantastic. Let's get to it. The fashion industry, that's so cool. And this industry is super cool as well. So Giga and AMD have a longstanding partnership, and we've done a lot of work together, coming together to deliver values for customers. I think back during the COVID days, even, we did a lot of work together to deliver some clusters of systems to the market with Penguin as an integrator to help facilitate and keep technology moving forward during that trying times here. Give us a little bit of insight into some of the other aspects of the relationship between Gigabyte and AMD.
Jim, for the longest time, people have thought of Gigabyte as just a motherboard company. But we actually started building a server business way back in 2000. And here I have to mention our CEO, Itay Lee. When he first joined Gigabyte, he just didn't step into an existing team. He built one from the ground up. And at that time, that department only had three people. It was back then called Network and Communication Business Unit, which later became what we know right now, Giga Computing, where I'm working at. So about 20 years ago, back when many system manufacturers expanded their server business through investment or acquisitions, we took a little different approach. We built everything in-house from scratch. So it was also around the same time that we began working with a variety of chip makers, ARM, NVIDIA, and Pure, and of course, AMD. And that's how we started building lasting partnerships with AMD. And that relationship has remained strong over the years. That's also why we're among the first vendors to launch a vast portfolio of products supporting EPYC Naples back when it was first released in 2017. Jim, since you're here with me on this podcast today, I can say that our strong partnership with AMD remains solid. So it allows Giga Computing to offer more extensive lineup featuring AMD's latest chips. So as we know, with data center packing more power than ever, heat management has become a serious challenge. We have traditional air cooling, immersion cooling, and DLC cooling. Our immersion cooling offers very impressive efficiency, but it's actually with the higher entry barriers, infrastructure changes, and maintenance complexity. These push customers to seek for other cooling solutions. But we can dive into this topic in more detail later.
Great. So you mentioned the constraints on data center. Clearly, AI is fueling a large portion of that, and customers all across the board are rapidly scaling their data centers and trying to adapt to keep pace with growing workload demands here. What is Gigabyte seeing in your customer base, and what are some of the issues that these data center customers are grappling with?
So first, let me start with some current data center situation. You know, Jim, billions have poured into AI over the past few years. The demand for more infrastructure is really skyrocketing now. So due to the surging demand of AI processing power, it is now driving an unprecedented need for computing resources, causing data centers to be used more than ever. So soaring cloud computing and AI workloads have left just little to no available data center capacity for new clients. And because of that, it is pushing rental rates up to 6.5% compared to the first half of 2023. Now the national average has reached 174.06 per kilowatt per month. Let's take Atlanta as an example. Atlanta's data center market is heating up. Prices have jumped 26% in just 1 year, with major players like Microsoft, CoreSite, DataBank, ETC, many more setting up shops over there. So the growing demand for high-performance computing has widened the gap between older and newer data centers. Those legacy facilities often lack the necessary infrastructure to support high-density AI workloads. So this trend is really fueling interest in emerging markets, such as Northern Indiana, Idaho, Arkansas, and Kansas. So we might want to take a look at these cities where providers are currently looking to expand. Another challenge here is that as AI tech keeps advancing, data center operators are scrambling to build new facilities to keep up. But once the initial rush of large-scale AI training cools down, the industry might have to pivot, for example, upgrading infrastructure to handle next-gen chip architectures built for wider ranges of AI applications. So this includes edge computing, which processes data closer to the source of better efficiency. And in this rapidly changing landscape, selecting the right server system becomes critical. A well-designed system that can seamlessly transition from AI training to inference. And this will be key to ensuring long-term adaptability and efficiency in data center operations. Also, at the core of it all is the very cutting-edge semiconductor tech. Tasks like complex AI model training or high-resolution simulation used to take 32 hours to compute. Now, can you believe it can be done just in a single second with the latest GPU? Very amazing. It also means that AI models can train on even larger data sets, iterate faster and keep improving at an insane pace. And another interesting point to note is the big shift we're seeing in energy. Nuclear power, especially some small modular reactors, is gaining momentum as traditional power grids struggle to meet demand. As the industry seeks more sustainable solutions, I believe probably by next year, we'll likely see the number of SMR announcements double. This is definitely something that we want to keep an eye on. Okay, so back to cooling. We briefly talked about different cooling systems earlier. Because our current GPUs and CPUs are getting more and more powerful, the traditional air cooling just can't keep up with those high-density computing taxes anymore. Then we have immersion cooling with a higher entry barrier, like I mentioned before. So we also have liquid cooling, which has become the go-to for new data centers. Even existing facilities are seeking to upgrade to liquid cooling to stay efficient. So right now, I'd say about 40% of data center operators are looking into new liquid cooling solutions. And that's why we showcased our liquid cooling rack back at Supercomputing 2024 in Atlanta. And we brought it back again at CES 2025, which just wrapped up last month in Las Vegas. There was a lot of interest in how DOC works, as well as questions about pricing and deployment back at both shows. It was pretty fun. And from a hardware manufacturer's perspective, having a well-designed server system is, I think, a must to scaling up DOC cooling. So here at Giga Computing, we built exactly that with the SKU, G4L3ZX1. So this SKU is built to specifically handle the heat because it literally supports 500 watts AMD 9005 CPUs. Not only that, it also keeps GPU cool at the same time. As processors and accelerators get more powerful and draw more wattage these days. So keeping them cool is definitely key to keeping performance maxed out under heavy workloads. Plus, our design team made a system modular, meaning it is now super easy to service. You can just easily swap out parts, add new components, or just do some routine maintenance. So back to the current data center situation. Earlier, we mentioned that the world's computing demand is soaring, but we are running out of power. AI, cloud computing, and HPC workloads are just power hungry. We may not feel the immediate pain in the data centers today, but I'll say it's coming. The power demands of tomorrow's computing infrastructure will only increase And if we don't adapt now, it will definitely become a challenge we can't ignore in the very near future. And I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to sound alarmist here, but this is what I see, what I observe. Mm-hmm. And that's why optimizing hardware from processors to cooling systems is so crucial to ensure we meet the growing demands without exhausting our energy resources. I believe in the end, our ultimate goal is still to design a data center that excels in performance, reliability, scalability, and security. This just all starts with selecting the right servers. They have to be able to equip with the powerful processors, memory, and high-speed storage like NVMe, CXL expansion. This is also why choosing the right CPU processors like AMD and hardware like Giga Computing for efficiency to better design a data center is so important and pivotal.
Great. So no doubt about it, the hardware has to continue to get much more efficient. But there's also recently been some innovation on the software side I'd like to get your opinion on here. If we look at some of the work, such as the researchers have done over at the DeepSeek organization here and developing a model that they claim is trained with a lot less compute power than some of the popular models out here, do you think this signals a bigger shift in the future of how this AI compute infrastructure is going to evolve?
Oh, that's a really great question. I'd say whether you're working in the tech industry like us or not, or you're just simply a stock investor, or just trying to keep up with the news these days, DeepSeek has been the talk of the town. When it comes to machine learning of AI training, GPUs are just always going to be beneficial. GPUs are still essential for AI workloads. Even if newer models are becoming more efficient, the reality is that AI models are evolving, but so are the complexity and scale of training data sets. So let's say even if a model uses fewer GPUs, and those GPUs need to be as powerful as possible to handle high-speed metrics calculations and deep learning computations, let's say that. When you have the most powerful GPU for AI training, you actually need hardware that pushing the GPU to its best performance. For example, take our G494 PCIe GPU system. It has features that make GPU to GPU communication run smoothly. And with AMD's EPYC 9004, 9005 processors, which pack high core count, advanced memory design, and strong input-output power, you're getting a system that's fully optimized to keep those GPUs running at peak efficiency. You have to maximize every bit of compute power available in the end. And the EPYC 9004, 9005 CPU manage massive data transfers, handle complex computations that aren't well-suited for GPUs. It ensures that AI workloads don't hit bottlenecks.
So this is how CPUs continue to play a crucial role in server systems. And we'll discuss more about that later.
Great. I'm glad you brought this up. And clearly, GPUs have been fundamental to supporting the growth in AI here. But the CPU also has to play a pretty significant role, and it does. We can talk about how choosing the right processor can help you maximize the performance of even the top-end GPUs here. It can make a significant difference. I think we saw that with the recent 9005 series launch. By selecting processors with high frequency, you can really impact and deliver a much more bang for the buck out of those GPUs. So when we're spending that kind of money at GPUs, you want to get everything that one can get out of it here. But it's also showing that, wow, there's probably this flex in this change coming in terms of what you could do with just the CPU and maybe changing, again, where on that spectrum you need to start to rely on a GPU as well. As CPUs get more cores and faster themselves, can they indeed take more of that, especially on the inferencing side, more of that workload directly onto the CPU and utilize that and not have to make the extra investment in a GPU or consume the extra power that a GPU would require? Do you see a similar change in the way that the market is evolving? Do you see customers recognizing there's more than one way to solve a problem and that maybe that there's a change in the balance of when to use what technology?
From a hardware manufacturer perspective, GPUs are key, definitely. But that just doesn't mean CPUs are taking a back seat. Actually, in fact, CPUs still play a very crucial role in maximizing complement GPU performance. So a strong CPU makes sure GPUs can run at their best by handling data processing, managing tasks, and taking care of memory operations efficiently.
Well, we all know that for AI training, we do need a GPU, yes. But before a GPU can start its training or rendering an image, let's say, the CPU actually pre-processes the data, organizing it for efficient GPU execution. And let's take a large AI workload with massive data sets that, say, before the GPU even gets to work, the CPU handles all the heavy lifting by filtering, compressing, and batching data. So that's how CPUs and GPUs just work together in a server. We call this stage data processing and task distribution, and just all handled by the CPU first. A GPU needs plenty of data bandwidth to perform at its best. And that's where the CPUs comes in. CPU just makes sure low latency data transfer by handling PCIe lanes, memory bandwidth, and overall data flow. It's just literally feeding data to the GPUs, so the entire compute process can run smoothly. GPUs are definitely essential, of course, for handling large-scale parallel computing tasks. But the CPU remains just as crucial for overall system performance. CPU manages vital functions like data transfer, coordination, and any non-parallel tasks. Of course, other complex logic processing responsibilities all falls onto CPU. It ensures the GPU can actually function at their full potential. For example, in AI workloads, the CPU pre-processes data before sending it to the GPU for training. And it also handles inference tasks, ensuring that data flows smoothly. So we can say, without a capable CPU, even with the most powerful GPU in the world, will still struggle to perform smoothly. So the CPU is definitely here to stay, working hand in hand with GPUs. And so that you can drive the performance of a modern data centers and computing systems. That's how we build a perfect data center. We need both. Definitely, we need CPU.
So it sounds like Giga's got a pretty strong position here and a pretty good understanding and portfolio of what's needed today, and also has a lot of really informed thoughts about what the next generation of data center is going to need to look like here. Are there additional other solutions or pain points that you think are going to be really important for the future of computing?
Okay, since we've been talking about the increasing power and cooling demands for servers, I want to briefly touch on the other side of the spectrum. We all see a lot of customers looking into and using virtualization in order to reduce their physical hardware footprint by running multiple workloads on a single system. Virtualization does improve efficiency, lower power consumption, and optimize data center performance. Okay, now you might be thinking, with virtualization, we don't need as many servers. So, what is this girl thinking? She definitely cannot let her boss listen to this podcast, right? What do? As hardware manufacturers, we actually have a perfect skill that is built for virtualization workloads. Our R-Series, R283ZK0. It's got 48 DIMM slots in a 2U system, which makes it easily handle multiple virtual machines at once. Also, we support DDR5 memory, which each slot taking 128 GB or more RDIMM modules, giving you like a total memory capacity of 6 TB. And reason why this system is perfect for virtualization, because it combines AMD's 9005 series of CPUs with high core count of up to 192 cores and the ability to add up to 48 DIMMs of memory. It allows each VM to have its own set of dedicated resources allocated to themselves. So that being said, as data center operators look to the future solutions like this, our R283ZK0 will be key in enabling efficient scaling while dealing with the power and space constraints that come with virtualization. In the end, it's all about optimizing resources and making sure that we're ready for the compute demands of tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, that R283 sounds like the data center manager's dream, looking for a box that can give them the scalability they need. Also sounds like something that the memory vendors would be very super excited about, 48 DIMM slots. That's a lot of compute and a lot of memory in a very small space. Really innovative there. Where can customers learn more about things like those offerings?
We can definitely just simply Google Gigabyte AMD EPYC 9005. You'll find us. You'll find AMD's system under Gigabyte's website.
Fantastic. Carrie, this has been a fantastic discussion. Really appreciate you joining us and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me again, Jim.
And thanks for our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.